Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. On today's show, we'll check in with the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery, located in Redwood Falls. We'll have a discussion about Minnesota veteran suicide prevention and hear from the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
On this third Friday in September, we come together to honor prisoners of war and missing in action, paying tribute to the brave souls who have suffered the ordeal of captivity and the families who continue to endure the anguish of uncertainty. These courageous individuals, our prisoners of war, and those still missing in action, embody the highest ideals of service and sacrifice. Despite enduring unimaginable hardships, they demonstrate unwavering courage, resilience, and loyalty to their comrades and country. We stand in solidarity to those who have endured the torment of captivity and with the families who tirelessly await their loved ones' return. Their sacrifices serve as a poignant reminder of the heavy toll of war and the enduring strength of humans. As we honor our prisoners of war and missing in action, let us renew our solemn commitment to never forget their sacrifices. Let us honor their memory by upholding the values for which they fought and by ensuring their legacy inspires future generations.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me in the studio is the Redwood Falls State Veterans Cemetery Administrator, Chad Bondi. Chad is a United States Army veteran. He has served as the Redwood Falls State Veterans Cemetery Administrator since April of 2023. Chad, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you in the studio. And, you know, actually, it's good to have someone here from the Minnesota State Cemeteries other than Dave Swantek. I mean, he almost kind of owns stock in Minnesota Military Radio. He's been on so many times.
Well, I'm glad we could get somebody else on there.
Yeah, and someone with a little bit more hair than Dave. But now he's not here to defend himself, so we'll have to leave him alone. However, I do want to welcome you to Minnesota Military Radio. And like we try to do with our guests is get a little bit of a background on our guests. So I know that you served in our Army. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about your military service and then what led you to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and ultimately the cemetery administrator in Redwood Falls.
Sure, absolutely. So grew up in Brookings, South Dakota, running up and down mom and dad's shelter belts, chasing the enemy till it was too dark to see. So I always kind of knew that I might end up in the military. I joined the Army in 2000, went off to Fort Knox, Kentucky. Knew I wasn't in South Dakota anymore pretty quickly. I remember the first time they had a freezing rainstorm, the entire base shut down. I was like, okay, that's new. Then went to down to Fort Polk, Louisiana.
I'm sorry about that.
No, that was an interesting spot for sure. Every insect and animal down there is viperous and venomous, and everything from the fire ants to unspeakable creatures. But it was good to see something different, which I think is kind of why military people make this decision, you know, too, just to see what else is out in the world. So definitely an interesting experience. Wish I could have gone maybe to a different duty station, but Fort Polk was just fine.
All right, so you serve in our military, like many do for various reasons. The military life, or at least a long-term career, wasn't something that you'd intended for. So you started making some other decisions, life choices, career choices. You eventually went back to Brookings and went to college, and then what happened?
I first met a great Minnesota girl down at Minnesota State University in Mankato, and decided to steal her back across state lines. We were in Mankato and couldn't find a place we wanted to rent, and I had a rental house in Brookings that I had purchased when I was in Iraq, and couldn't find a renter there. So I somehow talked her into moving out of Minnesota and heading to Brookings, and we both ended up finishing out our degrees at South Dakota State University there in Brookings. And then One day she told me that we were going to move to Redwood Falls, and which is great. It's about halfway between Brookings and where her family's from, up in the New London Spicer area. So I listened, which is always good to listen to your wife when she tells you about big changes you're going to go through.
This is free marital advice right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Always listen. Listening's good.
Yes, dear, is the other.
So, yep, that's a good one, too.
So you moved to Redwood Falls.
So we moved to Redwood Falls, and one day in end of November, early December, a couple years ago, she gave me a call, and she said, Chad, you're not going to believe it. She said, they're opening up a state veteran cemetery outside of Redwood Falls. And before she told me that, you know, I really think you should apply, I was like, well, I really need to apply for that. You know, this has been 20 years this year since I got back from Iraq and put that all behind me. And, you know, I really wanted to find a way to connect again to the veteran community. I'd been out of it for so long. And, you know, there's volunteer opportunities around campuses, but I wasn't really in a position where I could spend all my time volunteering, had to have a job, had to be pulling in some money. So I really felt like I missed opportunities in college to get back to the veterans community. And I mean, this has just been a blessing in so many ways. It's just been an absolute honor and a privilege. And being able to service our veterans and their families is just the realization of a dream. And it's actually meant quite a bit more than I thought it would even. So
yeah, so awesome. You moved to Redwood Falls. Did you know what you were getting into when you applied for the job and ultimately selected, meaning that this cemetery is not even opened yet? There's a lot of work yet to be done in order mm-hmm. to meet the opening date or the ribbon cutting ceremony in August of 2023. So did you know what you're getting into?
No idea. No idea at all. And I think, you know, the military really teaches you how to be flexible and take on unforeseen challenges. So I think I could rely on that. But no, absolutely no idea what I was getting into. You know, even in the interview there. So, you know, tell me about the internment process and what that entails. And I'm like, man, I'm not doing well in this interview. But
what is internment again?
You're right. Sure. Yeah. You know, that's the process of getting a soul in the ground in their final resting place. And it's just been an incredible learning experience. And I'm so happy to go to work every day. It's always something new. Always learning something new. And crazy to look back over last year when we were just getting that up and running and planning a dedication and so much stuff to do. And still so much to do, but a lot of it makes a lot more sense now than it did then.
Yeah, so, you know, you started then in that April time frame. You had several months before the dedication ceremony. You know, like I mentioned, a lot of work to be done. What was the most challenging thing for you in that time period before you actually had the dedication ceremony?
That's a great question. Honestly, almost just the travel. We were going up to Little Falls, and I had spent every week for a couple months up training at the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery in Little Falls outside of Camp Ripley, and had a 3-year-old at home at the time. I still don't know if she's forgiven Dad for being gone for those weeks, but she's resilient too, so she'll be good. But yeah, I would say the travel, and then, you know, all of a sudden I realized at one point too that I was going to be emceeing the dedication, and my public speaking experience was little to none at that point. And that was something I really had to wrap my mind around, being able to get up there and be coherent and deliver a good message in front of a whole bunch of people. So
yeah, and as we've mentioned on this show before, I was at that event, one of the hotter days in recent memory that we could have had. It was just a horrible, humid, hot day.
Terribly hot.
And so then you're up there on that stage, and it was still packed out there. I mean, yep. Two large tents full of people.
Yep.
And I think that's really a testament to the community. And maybe you can kind of touch a little bit on what that community means to you in this last couple of minutes of this segment.
Absolutely. You know, community is everything to me. I want to know people. I want people to know me and know what I'm about and what I stand for. And moving to a new town, a small town at that, not really knowing anyone, being able to get to know the veterans in Redwood Falls and the surrounding area. You know, we work very closely with American Legions and VFWs in the small towns around us in that southwest corner of Minnesota. and specifically getting to know the families of the veterans that we've been able to honor has just been an absolute revelation, a real way to connect to a community, I think, very sincerely. You know, it's not, you know, our intent is to just honor those veterans and do whatever we can for those families. And the gratitude that we receive, it's it makes everything worth it. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, and I would imagine that community support is extremely important and was very important in the process leading up to, you know, actually doing this dedication ceremony and getting to the land and all that kind of stuff. So just great to have community behind you, and they wanted this cemetery in their area.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'd over 15 years, maybe more of you know, real strong hard work by that community to make this happen and bring it all together. And even then, once you figure out that, okay, this is where this is going to happen, it takes a long time to open one of these facilities and get everything up and running. It's quite the undertaking. It really is. And nothing happens fast, but it happens for a reason, and this is a really good reason.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about some of that process and other things coming up in the future, but right now we're going to take a quick break. I'm speaking with Chad Bondi, who's at the Redwood Falls State Veterans Cemetery. He's the administrator out there. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. I've got Chad Bondi in the studio with me. We're talking about the Redwood Falls State Veterans Cemetery. And Chad, I want to ask you, you know, in your military service in the Army, you were a cavalry scout. And I'm just wondering if that experience as a cavalry scout really set you up for success to take on this role as the administrator.
I think so. You know, the military mission can get kind of specific when you break it down into its specific jobs and whatever those might be. But one of the nice things about being in the cavalry, about being a scout, is you kind of got to be a jack of all trades and kind of be able to take on a whole bunch of different things. You know, no day was ever the same in training, or certainly when you're deployed. So yeah, I think we spoke about resiliency in the last one. It really does give you sort of a sense of, you know, you're not going to know what's coming, but you still got to deal with it. You got to handle it. You got to take care of it the right way. And I think that's been invaluable to me, not just in this, but in life, but certainly at the cemetery as well.
And then I would imagine that some of that leadership training or experience that you've had, you know, really bodes well for the team that you have to lead out there, because although you have three other state cemeteries, other people you can call on, we've already mentioned Dave, obviously, but you're really kind of alone out there with your team. So how big is your team? And then maybe you can talk a little bit about, like, the hours of the cemetery and what people can expect for accessibility.
Sure. So I have 7 team members that work with me. I have a cemetery representative who deals very closely with the families and the scheduling and making sure that we all look great out there, and she does such a great job. Tammy Blaine, stop in and say hi if you're in the area. We love visitors, and we love to show off what the state's done out there. And then I've got a foreman, Jason Belko, and he runs the field staff, and you know, that's really what the important part is, how those grounds look, how people can see that we're going to perpetually care for them. You know, I daily yesterday had a veteran drive through, and he said, well, I really wanted to see what was going on out here and see if this was a place that I wanted to be buried at. And gosh, this looks just great. This is for me. So, you know, that's it. It sounds superficial, but really the look of that and how the quality of everything, that really speaks volumes to our veterans and, you know, lets them know that they will be cared for into perpetuity and that it's always going to look that amazing. And I'm sorry, I feel like I got away from part of your question.
No, that's all right. So, you know what? You invited public to come and check out the cemetery. Can
yes.
you just drive in any time, day or night, or are they restricted? Do gates get closed? What does that look like?
So the administration building is open from 8 in the morning till 4:30, Monday through Friday. That's when Tammy and I are there. And if you can stop in during one of those times to talk to us, we absolutely love that. But the cemetery itself, I mean, it's a public space. It's for the state of Minnesota and Minnesotans, and that is open from sunrise to sunset, 7 days a week. So if you're on a weekend cruise, stop over there. We're right on the east side of Redwood Falls. stop on in, see what we got going on. And obviously, if you can come in Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30, bring your questions. We'd love to have you. Love to show off what the state has going on there.
Could somebody stop in and talk to you or to Tammy if they were interested in doing like pre-registration to find out if they're eligible to be buried?
Absolutely, absolutely. And pre-registration is what we really encourage. You know, I was the 100th pre-registered vet out there myself. We currently have over 260 pre-registered veterans. You know, life is uncertain, and for me, I wouldn't want any, don't want to cause any undue stress. So if you can have that part all tied up, you got that taken care of, you know, you turn in your pre-registration form, it's just one page, and we ask for a DD-214 or a similar separation paper, and if you're married and you want your loved one to be there with you too, then we just ask for a marriage certificate. But within 5 days, you're going to have a letter of eligibility that says you're eligible to be buried in a Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery. And we ask you to, you know, share that with your family, share that with the funeral home you choose to work with. And really, it's quite an easy process. It's really not too complicated. So
if you were the 100th person to pre-register, does this mean that you kind of have a long-term plan to be staying in Redwood Falls? I mean, is this your calling? I mean, I know things can change, but, you know, as the cemetery administrator, do you see this to be your... I mean, you found your spot now, back to your, I don't want to say happy place, but maybe it is.
Absolutely. You know, I just kind of look sideways at people like, gosh, I just love my job. I'm like, really? You really love your job? But I didn't know. I didn't know it was possible. I love going to work every day to serve our veterans. And, you know, I had the conversation with my wife that, you know, our daughter's going to graduate from Redwood Valley High School, and, you know, that's going to be her home, and mom and dad should always be at her home. So if she wants to come and visit, you know, we'll always be there. And we have put down the roots. I absolutely love this. I'm going to make this one of the best cemetery in the cemetery system. And yeah, we're going to be in Redwood Falls for a long, long time.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And, you know, the cemetery was dedicated just over a year ago, August of last year. So you've had, you know, obviously prep time leading to dedication, and then the dedication, and now you've been open for business, so to speak, for just over a year. Is there anything that comes to mind over the last year where, you know what, this really just touched you? You know, this was a special story for you, or some special interaction that you've had over that year, or just something you're really, really proud of?
Oh, so many. You know, we were able to bury the brother of the gentleman that donated a good portion of the land there, and that was our first interment last July 7th. Our second interment was the spouse of a veteran that I've become very close with, and for him it was extremely important because he wanted to highlight, you know, there's the sacrifice of serving your country and being deployed, but there's still someone on the home front that now doesn't have their loved one there, and they still got to keep everything in order and keep the house running and get the kids off to school. And you know what it takes. It's a huge deal. So, but I mean, those are just two of the 58 families that we've got to meet. And it's just the experience of getting to know them, showing them through our work and our words that we are going to honor your veteran, into perpetuity.
So knowing that you're in this for the long haul, you know, the grounds, just about 22 acres. What does it look like for in your lifetime? Do you think you're going to have to expand this cemetery? I mean, what kind of capacity do you have in that 22 acres, which we know, you know, some of it's consumed by buildings and other things, but what does this look like for the cemetery itself and interments in the future?
So those 22 acres really just consist of kind of the groomed area and the administrative building. We're actually sitting on 80 total acres.
Okay.
Over 50 of that is seeded for Native Prairie. And I'm sorry, what was the rest of your question?
Yeah, again? I'm just wondering if then do you have to expand, or what kind of lifetime
do you have
current available?
So we kind of look at it in 10-year increments, and we look at what we've done in the past. You know, we've got in-grounder and above-grounder and casket areas and a private section. And we look at the usage there, put together a plan of what we need to develop moving forward. But, I mean, we're going to be open for over 100 years. We're going to be able to serve over 22,000 veterans and their families. So it's going to be there much longer than I will be there for a long time. and doing a great job of honoring our veterans and their families.
So we have just about maybe a minute and a half left here, and I'm just wondering if you can, you know, briefly talk about, you know, someone's going to come out, they're going to see you. You said turn in a 214. Are there other eligibility requirements that somebody would need to check the box on, and then where else can they go to find out if they're eligible, if not stopping in?
I encourage people to talk to their county veteran service officers. You know, we work very closely with them, and they're intimately knowledgeable about what we do there and the requirements. You know, it's if you are collecting retirement, you're eligible. If you're 10% service connected or more, you're eligible. You know, we get I didn't fight in the war or whatever, this and that. But there's lots of good ways that we can make a veteran eligible to come out and be in one of our state veteran cemeteries.
And so, both the veteran and their spouse,
absolutely,
would be eligible to be.
Yep. If you are married at the time of passing, that you and your spouse can spend the rest of eternity together.
Well, Chad, thanks for sharing with us about the Redwood Falls State Veterans Cemetery, and thanks for the work you're doing out there. Thank you for your service, and I really appreciate you taking care of our veterans, you know, in their final resting place, and the great work that you and the rest of the cemetery team do in all four of our state veteran cemeteries.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate that a ton, and thank you for having me on here and for your service as well. I mean, Yeah, you know what it's like, and this is a great honor. Great honor to get this message out.
Yeah, you bet. This is Chad Bondi. He's the cemetery administrator out there, Redwood Falls State Veterans Cemetery. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In a moment, we're going to have a conversation about veteran suicide prevention. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Brad Lindsay.
The Minnesota Commander's Task Force, or CTF, is made up of 8 congressionally chartered veteran service organizations here in Minnesota. They include the American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, Disabled American Veterans, Military Order of the Purple Heart, Marine Corps League, AMVETS, Jewish War Veterans, and the Paralyzed Veterans of America. The CTF acts as a single voice for the veterans of Minnesota. They meet regularly to discuss the most essential issues affecting veterans and their families and facilitate communication among veteran service organizations. The CTF also promotes legislative initiatives and represents veterans and their families on the Hill. On behalf of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the 285,000 veterans living in our state, thank you for your continued commitment and unwavering support.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Christy Stites has served as the Veterans Suicide Prevention and Programs Development Coordinator for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs since 2021. Christy joins us today to talk about veteran suicide prevention. Christy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
And you've been on the show before.
I have been. I've had the honor of being here the last couple of years, I think, during Suicide Prevention Month, which is September,
which is the reason why we have you in here again. I think this is an important topic to discuss. This suicide prevention is important work, and you're not new to this line of work, though, are you? Although new to the MDVA in 2021, but you provided assistance in this world with the Minnesota National Guard, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I worked as a suicide prevention program manager for a contractor with the National Guard 2018 to 21. And previous to that, it was in education, actually, which have all added to the work that we're doing and just a respect and honor for our military and veterans in Minnesota.
Yeah. So why, for you personally, why suicide prevention? I mean, what gravity has pulled you to this particular subject?
Thank you for asking that. Well, I have a brother who is a disabled veteran. He lived with me until last year. He lived with me for over 25 years, and he had suffered and had some mental illness, and was able really. He wouldn't be alive without his VA benefits. So one of my passions really is to see our veterans in our state really access their full earned benefits, because only 30% of our veterans in Minnesota are doing that right now. So,
and, you know, one of the things that we talk about as it relates to veterans, specifically suicide veteran, you know, we throw around numbers of X number of day, if it's 22, if it's 100 Minnesotans a year, you know, the numbers fluctuate based on who you're talking to or what statistic that you're looking at. But I'm just wondering, you know, why is this such an issue? Why do we have, it's important to talk about it, but why do we have to talk about it? You know, I mean, why do we have this problem of veteran suicide or even suicide in general?
In general, yes. I mean, this morning I was on a call with a father who lost his son to suicide, non-veteran, but, you know, we don't yet have the answer to that, honestly. We are researching that question, and we're working together with other partners and other people in the state, and there's a lot of people passionate about finding the answer to that. When someone dies by suicide, people often ask, why or what could I have done to prevent this? And, you know, sometimes there isn't a lot we can do, but there are some real simple, what I say is simple but not easy sometimes things, having some fearless conversations with people, reaching out, and just being intentional. Intentionality can be really go a long way.
Is that really just about, you know, one, we talk about it to create awareness, but then understanding that through that awareness, that means that you have to not stand on the sidelines and be an innocent bystander when you do see that thing that's off. You talked about asking hard questions. What do you mean by that?
Thanks for asking that. That's such a great question. So, I mean, when we see something, sometimes we're afraid to ask those questions. When we do, kind of, like you said, on the sidelines, see something, we're afraid that maybe if we ask that question, we might be bringing someone closer to that choice if we are concerned about them, or we don't know how we would respond, so we just avoid those uncomfortable conversations. So if we are willing to know that we don't have to have all the answers, really, we're just, it's really about having a caring heart, quite frankly, and being present for someone. A lot of times someone just needs to be seen. Most people who die by suicide really didn't want to die. And so we'd rather err on that side of asking some of those questions, like directly, are you having thoughts of suicide? Or I've seen this. I know that you've gone through a breakup. And sometimes when people go through a breakup, they have thoughts of suicide. And I see this and this and this. I see, you know, maybe you're not showing up for something. Maybe whatever those things are that we see, we need to trust our intuition and just ask the question. It creates currency and trust with people. And it really can impact all of our mental health.
What would you say to that person that maybe they're witnessing someone that is just a little bit off, right? Something's not right. You know, some of the things you've already highlighted. But they're concerned to ask the question because, one, they're afraid to hear the answer. But then, two, they don't even know, well, what if they say yes? What am I supposed to do with that information? What do you say to that person?
Well, I think that person, it's okay for us to not have the answers. It's okay for us to know that we can say to that person, I care about you. I see you. I see this, whatever that particular item is that you see. And I want to come alongside you. I care about you. I want to help you. Here are some resources. Let's call 988. I'll show you, you know, I have 988 in my phone. So let's just see, have you ever called? Like, what happens when we call that line? If we call right there with someone that may in the future need that and just tell them it's a test call, we automatically just take a layer away right there for them, so that someday, whether it's tomorrow, 5 weeks, 10 years from now, they may remember, oh, you know, I don't have to wonder what it's like, what happens when I call 988. That barrier is already gone, so they know what to expect. You know, if we ask people, who are your three people that you would want to talk to if you were in a crisis, and have them think about that, even just the act of doing that, having them write it down, put it in their phone, those kinds of just simple tools can really help save lives later.
And I would imagine that, you know, through these conversations and people that you've maybe talked to that had thought about it but didn't go through it, through with the act of taking their own lives, that if someone did come along with them and did ask the question. That's really all that they needed, was to know that someone actually was paying attention, someone actually cared, and is interested in them as a person.
That's correct. Kevin Hines there's a documentary called The Ripple Effect. You can look him up on YouTube. And he's one of 39 people who've survived jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. And of those five of those who have a healthy, thriving life. And his mantra is, be here tomorrow. And he said to himself, he made a pact when he went up to the Golden Gate Bridge and said, if one person says hello to me, I will not jump. And when that didn't happen, this woman came up and asked for a photo, for him to take a photo. She was a tourist. And so that didn't count. So he jumped. And when he jumped, he said, as soon as his feet left the bridge, he knew he didn't want to die. And that is a story that I've heard quite often from people.
In my time in the service, I've interacted with people, and one guy in particular who had the plan. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how, if it was not for the care and compassion of the family that realized there was something going on with him, he had everything mapped out, and he just needed that person to, hey, let's get you some help. We know there's something going on. So I think that's an important tip, right? Mm-hmm. One, you talked about being aware, and then not be afraid to ask the question. And it's okay to say, do you have a plan? Mm-hmm. Are you thinking about hurting yourself or taking your own life?
Yeah, and directly asking, is it suicide? Because some people, when they think of harming themselves toward the end, or you say, oh, they just seem like they were doing better and they were happy, it's because they do feel peace because they've already made that decision that that's what they're going to do. And so that, to them, is an end of pain. So if we stay away from saying the word harming oneself and say directly, are you having thoughts of suicide? Have you had thoughts of suicide? Sometimes when people are going through what you've gone through, it would be normal for them to maybe have thoughts of suicide. So again, we want to normalize it. We want to give permission and be a safe and neutral place. And that includes, kind of taking stock of what our own attitudes are about suicide and trying to really remain neutral.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about what the MDVA is doing to help prevent suicide. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm speaking with Christy Stites from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. We were talking in the last segment about prevention of suicides in our veteran community, and really suicides in general. And Christy, you said the importance is, of course, to be direct. Ask that question. Not necessarily are you thinking about harming yourself, but hey, are you going to take your life? Are you planning on committing suicide? And that's an important, very direct and pointed question to somebody. And I think that maybe that kind of, it forces someone to really be truthful then too, because they're not expecting that question, are they?
Mm-hmm. No. And sometimes it's a relief to that person.
Yeah.
So the myth is that it will bring them closer to making that decision. But the reality is that it's been statistically shown to do the opposite.
And so the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, obviously that's where you work. This is your program. Are there some other things that the MDVA is doing to try to combat this thing, mm-hmm. other than the great work you're already doing?
Mm-hmm. We are, working focuses really on upstream approaches, as is the Minnesota Department of Health, who is legislatively tasked in Minnesota with suicide prevention. Not all states have that task force that we do. So we have a lot of great things happening in our state that we're trying to tap into, but we're also trying to tap other people and other organizations and veteran organizations and veteran service organizations and other organizations that are just interested and passionate about helping and working with veterans and the general population to prevent suicide. So we know that that veterans have a, higher rate of suicide, but they also, it's also, being a veteran is also a protective factor. And I really think our call to action in MDVA is to ensure that that is really the outcome for our veterans, is that they are, have a purpose, a sense of purpose, and connected to their communities, and that they can still serve in different levels from what they've already been doing. So we address PTSD, depression, homelessness, food insecurity, and all kinds of things in partnership with our other programs in MDVA. We have given out well over 20,000 gun locks and promote means safety versus restriction. And those gun locks are available, and other information about our program are available on suicide in MinnesotaVeteran.org website. We also have a collaborative, which this is our first year. This will be just having our fourth quarterly meeting in November of all veteran, bringing together all veteran suicide prevention work in our state and efforts. It's a evolution of what was called the Governor's Challenge. And we still are tapped into that national initiative of the Governor's Challenge, but really trying to evolve and work in our state and do something different and network and educate one another about what are we really each doing and how can we educate and work deeper into our communities to empower all of our Minnesotans to have a response, know what to look for, and feel empowered to ask some of those tough questions.
And so we know 988. That's where we want to direct people. And then with the passing of the Compact Act, we know that the federal VA will provide care to a veteran mm-hmm. if they're in a situation and they need to go get care. You know, they should do that mental health care. And so there's resources there, but the big thing is no 988. Keep that number, know mm-hmm. it, walk alongside somebody, and don't be afraid to ask the question.
That's right.
Awesome. Well, Christy, we appreciate you coming in. We appreciate the work that you, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, are doing to help us prevent veteran suicide and, of course, suicide in general. So thanks so much for your work.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Absolutely. That's Christy Stites, who, again, works with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. As Christy was leaving the building, she reminded me that I forgot to bring up the big event they have going on up in Duluth. So on October 5th, the state of Minnesota is going to have the 6th annual Veteran Suicide Prevention and Awareness Day. Again, that's up in Duluth at the Depot. They're serving coffee from 9 to 10, and then they'll have a program from 10 to 11. So if you're up in that Duluth area, go to the Depot on October 5th. And now, calling in from Lacaparle County is the County Veteran Service Officer and President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Josh Benega. Josh, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Always good to be on here, Doug. Thank you.
Wonderful to have you. And, you know, I got to see you last week. It was a great event and something I thought we should talk about today. But we were up at Craigens Resort for the annual MACVSO conference. And I would like to know if you could just tell our audience a little bit about why you do that and really what the importance is of having that annual conference.
Well, Doug, it's a annual conference for all the county veteran service officers in Minnesota to get together, socialize, network, to learn from each other, to participate in some training that we feel is beneficial for our members and the CVSOs and the veterans in Minnesota. We had classes taught. Speaking of the suicide prevention thing up in Duluth, we have a technical assistance coordinator now who's also our vice president, will be attending that, Tom Anderson from Winona County. We also hold a business meeting where members can voice their opinions on what they would like to see the direction of our association going forward. And we also nominate and elect officers. And I got the privilege of being elected as president for another year. So
we get you one more year on the radio, which will be nice.
Yeah, one more year on the radio. I didn't think of that, but that's a valid point there, Doug.
Well, you know what? I think it's just a great opportunity for you to be able to share the messaging, right, of the great work that not only the association is doing, but really our county veteran service officers, because we know that's really where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, and last legislative session, we got some bills specifically benefiting CVSO offices in the state approved, and we got to share that with the membership that it was a kind of a lackluster legislative year, but we got some significant legislation passed that benefits our offices greatly, such as
Josh, I wanted to make sure, and I apologize for cutting you off, but we got like 2 minutes left, and one of the things that I thought was really interesting, and I'm hoping you can just touch on this, is one of the people that was presenting up at that conference was from the Attorney General office, and something we don't talk about too often is somebody who is considered a claim shark. And I'm hoping you can just maybe kind of shed some light on what that is and really the importance then of our veterans going to their county veteran service officer first.
Well, oftentimes these claim sharks that we like to call them are predatory companies or individuals that are not accredited with the Department of Veterans Affairs, claiming to promise veterans that we'll get your benefits approved at this rate, and they charge a fee for their services. Well, county veteran service officers are accredited with the Department of Veterans Affairs, meaning we have such standards that we have to meet annually for continuing education to maintain our accreditation with VA and our certification with the state of Minnesota, whereas these claim sharks don't have that and charge fees and can be kind of predatory towards veterans.
And I think that's the key right there, isn't it? Right? We want to make sure that our veterans are working with an actual true advocate that's not in it for the paycheck. They're there to do the best thing they can do for that veteran and get them the benefits that they're entitled to, that they've earned and they've deserved. And again, they are accredited.
Absolutely. If I was doing this job for a paycheck, I wouldn't be doing this job.
Right. You are doing it for a paycheck, but you're not doing it for fees based on the amount of the claim that you get for a veteran. And I think that's really a distinction right there.
Absolutely not. It's the taxpayers that pay our salaries. And, we do it as a labor of love, plus.
Well, Josh, that's where the music kicks in. I appreciate you joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Doug. It was good to be on here.
You bet. Before we close out today's show, I'd like to say thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us to send us your thoughts. Be sure to join us next week when our founding host, Tom Lyons, is back in the studio to lead a discussion about the Court of Honor and Flight of Honor, and then he'll introduce you to the new commander of both the Commander's Task Force and the American Legion Department of Minnesota. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.